Good morning, everybody. My name is Diane Rowland. I'm from the University of Florida, and I welcome you to this oral session put on by the Crop Irrigation Strategies and Management community. So I am supposed to remind you to turn off your cell phones and also to come forward. There are lots of seats in the front. We have a very good group of speakers today. And we will be limited to 15 minutes for each presentation, so I'll get up and stand up when we're getting about 13 minutes to remind our speakers. Okay. There is a CEU form. It's up front here with Brian Olson, so if you need to sign in for CEUs, they're available there. We also encourage you to join the community itself. We're going to be having a business meeting after this session. So please join us, and there's lots of opportunities to participate in the community. All right, so today we're going to start off with a talk entitled Spatial and Temporal Dynamics of Salinity in California Rice Systems, and Matthias Marcos will be presenting.
Welcome. Thank you for being here. My name is Matthias Marcos. I'm a UC Davis master's student in the Department of Plant Sciences, and I'll be talking about the spatial and temporal water salinity dynamics in flooded rice systems. So first, a quick background about rice. Rice is a staple crop for the majority of people on Earth. It's a very important crop in terms of food security in many developing countries. It's also a semi-aquatic plant. It generally is grown under flooded conditions, as shown here in this picture, because it doesn't tend to do well when the soil is below field capacity. It's also a very salt-sensitive cereal. The water salinity threshold is 1.9 decisiemens per meter. It also requires a high water input. In California, it requires roughly 180 centimeters, of which 48% goes to evapotranspiration, 14% goes to percolation and seepage, and about 38% goes to tailwater drainage. So this is a schematic of how water flows in a typical California rice field, where you have water entering through the inlet here, flowing down a series of basins until it gets to the bottom basin and discharges into a drainage ditch here. So again, this tailwater drainage or this surface drainage accounts for a lot of the water use in rice, about 38%, as I previously stated. However, it is important for removing salts from the field. So this tailwater drainage is a main mechanism that salts are removed from rice fields. So in many cropping systems, you would leach salts out by flooding your field and allowing the salts to leach downward. But in rice, because of the clay pan, it limits downward leaching of salts. So salts can accumulate in field water of rice due to evapoconcentration. This refers to surface evaporation, raising the concentration of salts in this body of water. So imagine here we have a rice field. We have water entering here on the left, coming in at 0.5 decisiemens per meter. There's evaporation going on at the whole surface. So as water moves down the field, where's my cursor? Moves down the field, it becomes more and more concentrated until it gets to the bottom, which is the most concentrated region of the field. Another mechanism for salts to accumulate in the field water is upward diffusion. So if you imagine here, we have a soil that is saline about 5 decisiemens per meter, and there's a water salinity of 0.5 decisiemens per meter. There's this potential for upward diffusion due to that concentration gradient of salts. And also, there's this problem in rice that's not unique to rice. It's a problem in many cropping systems. We need to reduce the water in these systems, because the water available, particularly for rice production, has decreased and will continue to decrease in the future. And one potential solution to this is to eliminate the tailwater drainage, because it's a high contributor to the total water input. This is termed zero drainage. However, there's concerns that zero drainage will increase salinity in fields and reduce yield. And also there's concerns because the current water salinity threshold is not well defined. I stated before, it's 1.9 decisiemens per meter. However, there's a lot of error in that measurement. The 95% confidence interval is 0.6 to 3.2 decisiemens per meter. So the objectives of this study were to determine the viability of zero drainage systems. We do this by elucidating the spatial temporal water salinity patterns in zero drainage fields and to develop a model that can predict water salinity throughout a field under zero drainage. Additionally, we would reassess the current water salinity thresholds under realistic commercial field conditions. So this study was done in 9 commercial rice fields in Northern California. So here we are in Phoenix, and my fields were, or the fields I studied were all in Northern California, more particular in the Upper Sacramento Valley of California. So there were 6 fields I studied in 2014, 3 fields in 2015 that were under zero drainage. And then within each field, there was 9 plots that were established. We had 3 plots in the top, or the A basin, 3 plots in the middle, or the B basin, and 3 plots in the bottom, or the C basin. And then within each basin, the plots were spaced equidistant, such that the 1 position would be close to the inlet, and the 3 position would be farthest from the inlet. When water was flowing down both sides of the field, as in this example here, that 3 position for the B and for the C basins was in the middle of the basin. So the fields we studied varied in irrigation water salinity, and they also varied in soil salinity. Soil samples were taken from all plots before and after the growing season, and during the growing season, weekly water salinity measurements were made at all plot locations and also in all the inlets. And then upon physiological maturity, yield was quantified at all plot locations. So we found consistent spatial temporal patterns of water salinity. I'll just focus on showing you the A1, the B2, and the C3 positions for clarity. So here you have weeks after planting on the x-axis and relative water salinity on the y-axis. So this relative water salinity term refers to the salinity of the plot relative to the irrigation water coming into that field. Because these fields differed in irrigation water salinity coming into the field, and because we're concerned with buildup from the inlet throughout the field, we made it relative to the irrigation water salinity. So you can see that with the A1 position, it's roughly about 1 throughout the whole season. That's because of its proximity to the irrigation inlet, while the C3 position goes up initially and then starts to taper off, but it's always above the A1 position. So you may be asking, why did we see these spikes early in the season, from week 2 to week 7 after planting? And when you think about a rice field in this, during this time in California, we have flooded conditions. There's not so much canopy cover. There's a lot of evaporation from the surface. This is concentrating the salts in this body of water, and those salts are being pushed down the field. And that's why we see these increases in relative water salinity early on. So next, we wanted to develop a model to predict water salinity buildup under zero drainage. The parameters for this model are soil salinity because of the potential for upward diffusion, and also distance because of that evapo-concentration potential. Distance was subdivided into longitudinal distance, which is distance down the field, shown here in blue, and then lateral distance, which is distance across the field, shown here in red. We did this because previous studies had suggested that water salinity builds up greater laterally than longitudinally, and we also found this to be the case. So this is the model for predicting water salinity buildup under zero drainage. We have observed relative water salinity versus predicted relative water salinity. And this right here is a season average result. So we took about 15 measurements at every plot weekly, and this is a season average of those measurements. And you can see just using these 3 parameters, soil salinity, longitudinal distance, and lateral distance, you get pretty decent fit, R-squared about 0.61. So next, we want to assess the contributions of these parameters, of these variables, to the R-squared, to the explained variance. So what we saw here is that the longitudinal distance for the season average model contributed to roughly 64% of the explained variance, while the lateral distance contributed 14%. So together, position in a field, which is the combination of lateral and longitudinal distance, contributed to 78% of the explained variation in the model, while 22% was explained by the initial soil salinity. Next, we wanted to assess these variables over time. Did they change in importance at different points in the growing season? So we divided the growing season into early season, which was week 1 to week 7 after planting, and then late season, which was week 8 to week 15 after planting. And we saw quite a difference here. So for the early season model, the initial soil salinity contributed to roughly 55% of the explained variation. While in the late season model, the soil salinity only contributed 2% to the explained variation. This suggests that early in the season, soil salinity is contributing to water salinity. However, later in the season, it's not significantly contributing. And this makes sense because early in the season, there's not so much canopy cover, there's not so much transpiration, so there's the ability for salts to diffuse upwards. However, later in the season, there's more canopy cover, there's more transpiration, there's more flow of water downward, so that upward diffusion is not possible. So next, we want to determine water salinity effects on yield, particularly focused on that threshold. When does yield begin to decrease because of water salinity? So to do this, we used the season average water salinity. We developed a linear mixed effects model with field as a random intercept. This allows field to have its own yield potential. And then we determine the threshold based on the convergence point of two linear lines seeking to minimize the overall deviance. And so here we have water salinity on the x-axis, yield on the y-axis, and we found a threshold of 0.88. So above this 0.88 threshold, we saw yield negatively correlated with water salinity. Below this threshold, on this side, we did not see a significant correlation. That's why there's no line shown here. One thing to note, our threshold of 0.88 is below the previous threshold of 1.9 decisiemens per meter. And also that 1.9 decisiemens per meter does not fit in our 95% confidence interval of 0.36 to 1.36. Another thing to note is that the zero drainage did not reduce yields that much because you can see the lowest yield we saw was roughly 8,000 kilograms per hectare. So next, based on these model relationships, based on our yield threshold, we're in the process of developing a computer application that could potentially be used by growers. And we're going to use a Shiny package in R to develop this application. So this shows you the user interface of the app that we're developing. So a grower would go to the website, open the app, and then this is what would pop up. They'd be able to choose the number of basins in their field, the length and width of the basins, what their field soil salinity is, what the salinity of their irrigation water is, and then what time of the growing season they're interested in. Do they want to look at the season average? Do they want to look at the early or the late season? And then this would be a typical output. So here in this situation, we have water flowing in just on the left side, or flowing in on the left side of the field, and only flowing in on the left side of the field. Different colors represent different water salinity concentrations, and when it gets above the threshold of 0.88, it turns red, as shown here. So in this field, there may be some salinity issues developing on the bottom right of the field. So the grower might want to consider some management strategies, maybe think of some ways to move water around the field to decrease this hot spot from developing on the bottom right of the field. So to conclude, water salinity is highest early in the season, especially farther from the inlet. Water salinity throughout a field can be reasonably predicted using position in a field and initial soil salinity. The salinity threshold we found under commercial field conditions was 0.88 decisiemens per meter. And in general, zero drainage is a viable short-term solution, and you can use an app to determine if it works for you. I'd like to thank the California Rice Research Board for providing funding for this project, as well as faculty and fellow students at UC Davis and the Department of Plant Sciences, as well as in the Graduate Group of Horticulture and Agronomy. And especially, I want to thank fellow students in the Linguist Lab and our technician, Cesar Abranilla. He's been extremely helpful throughout the whole process. Thank you.